about the Antichrist, and we talked about the fact that John describes for us in 1st and 2nd John what that Antichrist is, and that Antichrist was a group of individuals who were around then and who are still around today who make one of two errors concerning Jesus Christ. One, they don't believe that he actually came in the form of a human being, that he was actually flesh and blood. Or the second is that they believe that Jesus was just a man and that he was not divine or that he was not God. And so today we're going to look at that second one. And we've entitled our lesson, Is Jesus God? Is Jesus God? Now by that we don't mean is he a God. There are some religious groups that teach that Jesus is a God, but he's not the God. But we want to ask the question, is Jesus God? The one true God. Is Jesus that God? Now there's become some confusion because of the fact that, of course, in the Old Testament, the Bible teaches very clearly, the Lord thy God is one God, right? And we know that we see that Jesus is referred to as God, and the Holy Spirit is referred to as the Spirit of God. It's God as well. And then there's the Father, and so we start saying, wait a minute, that's three, that's not one. And so people say, see, he can't be God, because there's only one God. So how can they all be God? Well, there is one God, in that there is one nature of God. There's all three, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, all are the same nature. They all have the same characteristics. They're all eternal. They all have the same mind and the same thoughts and the same intention. Their purpose is the same. They're eternal. They're all-knowing. Their justice, their goodness, their mercy, it's all the same. And that's how we can say that even though we talk about the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we still talk about just one God. But we want to study this particular topic because of the fact that if Jesus is not God, we are guilty of worshiping a false God. If he's not God, then we're worshiping a false God. But we won't be guilty of that. So we want to study to see what the scriptures say to make sure that we are doing what's right. Furthermore, if he is not God, if he is not divine, Christianity is a sham. It's all a fake. It's all a fraud if he's not God. And then we see Jesus must be one of four things. He must either be God-man, which means he is both divine and human, or he must be a madman, or he must be a mythical man, meaning he never existed at all, or he must be a bad man, meaning that he lied about all of these things. And was teaching falsehood. Those are the only four choices we have. Either he is divine, he was divine and human as well, or else he's crazy and just thought that he was God. You know, there are people that think all sorts of things about themselves that aren't true. You know, you run into people that think they're a Volkswagen car or something, but we know those people need mental health. Well, if Jesus just thought he was God and really wasn't, he needed some help, and we're foolish to follow a madman. Or he was a mythical man. He was just a legend. Something that the gospel writers made up, and that he never lived at all. Of course, there's lots of proof to the contrary of that. You can go back and read the Jewish record, read Josephus, and see that even though he didn't believe in Jesus, he was very clearly wrote that Jesus was a living person. There's no doubt about it. Or else he was a madman. He was a liar. And just said he was God when he knew better. Now, all of these things then are something that we have to take into consideration. Which one? Only one of those things can be true. It had to be one of those four things. Well, we believe that the Bible teaches that Jesus is God, and we're going to see now why we believe that. First of all, Jesus is called God and never denies it. Never denies it. He is called God by the Father in Hebrews chapter 1, verses 8 through 9. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 8 through 9. There, the Hebrew writer, speaking of God, says, but to the Son, that's Jesus, he, that's the Father, says, God more than your companion. So we see in the scripture that the Father calls the Son God. He said, your throne, O God. So if God the Father called Jesus God, then why on earth would anybody else argue with it? Because to say then that he's not would be to call God the Father a liar. And that certainly is not something that we want to do. Let God be true and every man a liar. Furthermore, Isaiah, by the inspiration of the Father, by the inspiration of God, calls him God. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse number 6, he says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God. His name will be called God. Not just any God, but Mighty God. Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. That's the name that's going to be given to the Son. And that Son, of course, is Jesus. So Jesus was called God by Isaiah through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And then he was to be called Emmanuel, which interpreted is God with us, by the people. So the people were going to call him Emmanuel. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 23. Matthew records, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. So Jesus was to be called God with us. And so we see again, he's called God. But Lord Thomas, the Apostle Thomas, called him God to his face. And Jesus never denied it. He didn't say, oh, no, now you don't refer to me that way. I'm just a good man. I'm not God. That's not what Jesus said. Thomas, in John chapter 20 and verse 28, after he had seen Jesus resurrected and had put his hand in the side and had put his fingers in the holes where the nails had been, it says, and Thomas answered and said to him, my Lord and my God. And Jesus didn't say, oh, now, don't be calling me that. Jesus accepted that as a proper designation. Then, of course, he is also called God by other apostles. Colossians 2:9, Romans 5:9, both those two passages, Paul refers to him as God. In 2 Peter 1:1, Peter refers to him as God. And in 1 John 5:20, John refers to him as God. So you've got four of the apostles calling him God. And if anybody would have known whether it was right or wrong to call him God, you would think his own disciples, his own apostles would have known, wouldn't they? Four of them refer to him as God. And then when you add to that Matthew records in his gospel that he was going to be called God with us, and the Hebrew writer records God calling him, the Father calling him God, you've got now five inspired writers of the New Testament who refer to Jesus as God. That in and of itself should be enough, but there's more. Jesus is worshipped and never rejected it. We're to worship only God, Matthew 4:10. Jesus knew that because he quoted that scripture to the devil. Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Only God. You don't serve anyone else in that way. You worship him alone. It's a special kind of treatment that you give only to God, nobody else. So he knew it. What's more, good men refused to be worshipped. Acts chapter 10, verses 25 and 26, Peter comes to the house of Cornelius, and Cornelius falls down and worships him. He said, what? Get up, I'm just a man like you. I'm not a God to be worshipped. I'm not God to worship me. So if Jesus was a good man, but not God, he would have known that he couldn't be worshipped, that he would have refused to be worshipped. But instead, he accepts worship. People worship Jesus. Matthew 2:11, chapter 8, verse 2, chapter 9, verse 18, chapter 14 and verse 33, chapter 15 and verse 25, chapter 28 verses 9 and 17, and John chapter 9 and verse 38. All of these scriptures are occasions where people worship Jesus, and he never, ever said to them, you're doing the wrong thing by worshiping me. He never said that. We look at just one of those, Matthew 14 and verse 33. It says, then those who were in the boat came and worshipped him, saying, truly you are the Son of God. They said, by the virtue of him being the Son of God, that made him God and worthy of worship. That same worship, which they knew, if they had studied the Scriptures, just like Jesus had studied the Scriptures, they knew he wasn't supposed to worship anybody but God. God had said, have no other gods before me. Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Nobody else. But they came and worshipped Jesus. What's more, angels worshipped him. Angels. He never said, an angel wouldn't worship a man, but angels worship Jesus. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 6 says, but when he again brings the firstborn into the world, he said, let all angels of God worship him. Let all angels of God worship him. Let them. Don't stop them. Don't tell them what's wrong. Let them worship him. They should worship him. But why should they worship him? Remember, some of the angels fell for worshiping Satan. And he wasn't God. They worshiped Satan. They fell. God cast them out of heaven. Prepared hell for the devil and his angels because they worshiped somebody that wasn't God. But what about Jesus? And it says, let the angels worship him. That means he must be greater than an angel. He must be more than just another created being like all the rest. There must have been something special and unique about Jesus. He indeed must have been God. And then we see even demons worshiping. Even the demons knew who he was. We see that in Mark chapter 5 and verse number 6. The demoniac, he was possessed by demons. He came running up to Jesus and fell at his feet and worshiped him. This man was possessed by demons, and those demons knew. They knew who Jesus was. In fact, there were several occasions where Jesus had to tell the demons to be quiet and not proclaim that he was the Son of God, that he was indeed divine. And to say, don't say anything. Don't mention that. It's not time for that to get out yet. He didn't say, you're wrong. He just said, don't tell that yet. Be quiet about that. It wasn't the time for him to be revealed to the world. And then we see, third, God is the creator. We all know that. He asked my son. He's only 2 years old. Remember, who created the world? Who created the world? God did. He knows that. We learned that from the beginning. Yeah, we look. God's the creator. But Jesus created all things. What's that make Jesus? Make him God, doesn't it? He created all things, and God's the creator. Colossians 1, 15 through 17 says, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him, and he is before all things. And in him all things consist. He made everything in heaven and in earth. He made the angels. He made the sun and the moon and the stars. He made the people and the plants. He made all of the fish and the sea. He made it all. All things. It says that he is before all things. He existed before everything. Well, who existed before everything? God did. And then we see also John chapter 1 and verse 3 from the scripture that was read a little while ago in your hearing. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Now that verse right there, along with Colossians 1, 15 through 17, should teach people that Jesus himself was not created. It says, all things that were made he wasn't a created being. John 1:3 says, all things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. Now the Jehovah's Witnesses and other religious groups try to get around that and say, well, that just doesn't include Jesus. He was made before everything else. Well, that's not what it says. It says, not anything that was made without him doing it. Now, unless he made himself, which I would think that'd be a pretty impressive feat to make yourself. And unless he created himself, he's not created. He's been in existence forever. He created everything else. Everything that exists, with the exception of God, which has been in existence forever. And then we see also Hebrews 1:1-2 teaches this same concept as well. That it's spoken to us in these last days, verse 2 says, by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the world. And so again, that refers to Jesus' divinity, his being. Divine as being deity, being God. And then 4, we see that Jesus claims equality with God by word and deed, and never denies it. He does things and says things that only God can do and say, and he never gives it a disclaimer. Now we know that there were prophets and people in the Old Testament times who did miracles, and they said, you know, the power's not me, I'm doing this by the power of God, or the word of God came to me. So it's not me speaking, I'm speaking for God, or I'm doing it for God, it's God's power. Jesus never said that. He claimed it. He was doing this by his own power at times. First of all, we see that the Pharisees accuse him, they say, you make yourself God in John chapter 10. And John 10:33, the Jews answered him, saying, for a good work we do not stone you, but for blasphemy, and because you, being a man, make yourself God. He had done something, said something in this section, that had made them think that he was comparing himself to be God, that he was claiming to be God. He didn't say, oh, you're wrong, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to make you think that. He didn't reject it. He accepted that they had drawn the proper conclusion. They were wrong about him being blaspheming and that he was wrong in being a man and claiming to be God and making himself God. But they had drawn the right conclusion. He had. That's exactly the way he said. He had made himself God. We see other passages. In John chapter 5 and verse 18, it says he is making himself equal with God. This was on occasion where he had healed a man on the Sabbath day. And it says, therefore the Jews sought all the more to kill him because he not only broke the Sabbath, but also said that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Now the Jews would very quickly say, our Father. Collectively, they say, yes, all of us as Jews, we are the children of God, and he is our Father. But no self-respecting Jew would ever say, God is my Father. But Jesus did, see. Jesus said on several occasions, my Father. Well, see, that gave him a distinctive relationship, different from, he wasn't just saying, our Father, oh, we're all the children of God because we're God's people, the Jews. That wasn't what he was saying. He was saying, God is my Father. And when he said that, they realized it. They said, by saying that, you're making yourself equal with God. They realized that being the Son of God was the same as being equal with God. There are some who try to draw the distinction. Well, he's the Son of God, then he's a step lower. He's not really equal to God. The Jews understood. If he said he was God's Son, he was making himself equal with God. He never denied it. Then in John chapter 8, verses 58-59, he says, before Abraham was, I am. That's the same terminology that God used when he talked to Moses. And who shall I say sent me? Tell them, I am that I am. I am that you. He took the name of God and applied it to himself. Now, we get on to people all the time today for calling themselves reverend because that's something that's preserved for God. But that's exactly what Jesus did. If he was not God, then he's just as guilty as all these people today who call themselves reverend when they're not God. So either he was a liar and guilty of the greatest of sacrilege in comparing himself and making himself equal to God and calling himself God, or else he really was God. The only two choices that we have left based on the same that he himself made. Then we see only God can forgive sin. But in Luke chapter 5 and verses 20 through 24, Jesus forgave a man his sin. At least we see there he said, your sins are forgiven. Well, what did people say? He said, wow, wait a minute, only God can forgive sin. He said, okay, I'm going to prove it to you. You say only God can forgive sin. Well, I'm going to prove to you that I, too, am able to forgive sin. And how did he do that? He turned right around and healed the man of his illness. So he rise up and walk. And the man got up and walked. And he said, which is easier? Just say your sins are forgiven? Well, anybody can say that. But to say get up and walk and then have the guy get be able to get up and walk, that everybody knew he's been unable to walk for years and years. Oh, well. He didn't just say these things to make these claims. He backed them up with his actions, with the miraculous deeds that he did. And then we see in John 12:45, to see Jesus is to see God. And then we see also to know Jesus is to know God. John 14 and verse 7. So we see all of those things apply. John 12:45 says that he who sees me sees him who sent me. And verse 14, chapter 14, verse 7 says, if you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on, you know him and have seen him. He says, you've seen me, you've known me, you've seen and know the Father God. We're the same. In John 10, verse 30, Jesus said, I and my Father are one. One and the same. And you can't reject me and accept him. You know, you might think of that in a business. How does that family run business? And the father and the son own that business and run that business. The son comes to somebody and demands payment of a debt. They can't say, well, why, you're true to you. Well, I have to listen to you. Because when he says, hey, I and my father are one. If I say you've got to pay your bill, my father says you've got to pay your bill. We're the agreement here. We're the same. We both have the same authority. We run this business. We are the owners. And we make the decisions together. And the same thing with God. Yes, Jesus is the one that came to earth. But he had all of the backing and all of the authority of the Father. When he said or taught anything he said or taught. Well, what's our conclusion from these things? No one can stand on the claim that Jesus was just a good man or a prophet. If he was not God, then he was not good. Now, that's the biggest claim that people try to make. Oh, he was a good man. No. That's not possible. Jesus doesn't leave that choice open for you. Remember, we talked about the four choices. Him being a good man wasn't one of the choices. He himself refuses that possibility. When he says he's God, then he either has to be God, or else he has to be a liar or a lunatic. One of two. He's either a bad man or a very bad man for making that claim, but he's not who he says he is. He's not God. He's certainly not good, because no good man would allow people to worship him, allow people to call them God, and then make claims that they themselves were equal to God and that they were God. No good man would do that. But a God man would. If he was God, then for him to deny that would have been wrong. He can't deny what he is. He can't deny who he is. He can't help it. Then we see, no one but God could have done the things he did. So we should believe he is God. The scriptures back him up, Old Testament and New Testament. shows that he was going to be God when he came to the earth. The Christ, the Messiah, was going to be God. Isaiah said so. Mighty God. That's what he's promised. And in the New Testament, then, we see that Jesus fulfilled those things. He fit the bill. He was that son that was born of a virgin. We should believe that he is God. If we believe he is God, then we should live like we believe him. Are there a lot of people that claim to believe that Jesus is God? They don't even know. Tell me Jesus is God. Sure he is. If we believe it, then we better live like it. Now, how foolish would it be if someone were to, you know, say that there's a fire, and we thought, fire. And people say, I believe the building's on fire. And they just sit there. Well, no. When we believe something, we act on it. Somebody says the building's on fire and we believe it, we're going to get out of here. And we're going to get everybody else we can to get out of here. Before the building burns down on our heads. If we believe that, and we keep sitting there, then regardless of what our words may say, we don't believe it. We're headed to the same predicament with Jesus. Jesus said, except you believe that I am he, you shall die in your sin. We believe it. We better live like it. What else did he say? He said, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. 33. Except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Well, if we believe Jesus is God and he's the Son of God, are we acting like it? Are we repenting of our sin? He says, if you don't confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father which is in heaven. Do we believe he's the Son of God? Do we believe his Father is in heaven? Do we care whether he confesses us? If we do, we're going to confess him. And then he says, told his disciples, go into all the world. Make disciples, baptize them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, for the remission of their sins. He says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Do we believe he's God? If he's God, he can't lie. If he can't lie, and he said, you've got to believe and be baptized, then why on earth is there so many people that aren't being baptized? Because they don't really believe he's God. If we believe it, we'll do it. Just like with the fire. We believe it. We'll do it. You're here this morning, and you're not a Christian. There's no better time to become one than now. The water is ready. If you're prepared to repent of your sins and confess Jesus as the Christ, you can have your sins washed away just like Paul did. Ananias came to him and said, now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins. Call in the name of the Lord. Nothing to wait for. I'm going to baptize on Sunday. Every day is baptizing day in the Lord's church. If you're here, you are a Christian, but perhaps you haven't been living your life like you really believe that Jesus is God. Perhaps you've been half-heartedly following him, listening to the commands you want to listen to and ignoring the ones you don't like. If you believe Jesus is God, you've got to believe everything he said and try your best to obey. If you're here, you haven't each responded to the invitation. We ask that you would do so as we stand.